there are 12 signs of the zodiac that are the normal, everybody knows about. And then there are 3 sub-signs to each of the major signs. And so Cancer is, well, let me just, two-second summary back farther. There are only 2 structures that predate the flood. One is the Great Pyramid, and one is the Sphinx. And the purpose of the Sphinx is the stars, because you have to know where to start and where to end, because it's a circle. So the Sphinx had the head of a woman and the body of a lion. So that meant you started in Virgo, the only woman's female sign, and you ended at Leo. And so we're almost at the end, but you can hear these on the web thingy pretty soon, right? Where are you?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're redoing all those little note things.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Just to the references of the
Anyway.
I shortened them already.
All right. And so we're now in Cancer, and we found out that the word Cancer really was a bad word for that. It's really Can-Ser, which means the enclosed protective area. It just was symbolized by the crab. But Cancer is not the word. It doesn't mean the same thing it does in our language. Means a closed or protective area symbolized that which is inside the crab. Arms, paws, whatever you call them, claws. There are 3 decans to Cancer. The first one is what we call the Little Dipper, or Ursa Minor. And that's right in the center. And it looks like a bear. And that's what the name Ursa means. It's a bear. And it's a Little Dipper, what we think of. The second sub-sign is the Big Dipper, or Ursa Major, and then the third sub-sign is the ship, Argo. And so we are studying Ursa Minor tonight. Now, as we've seen with a few of these signs, the picture has changed in over the last couple thousand years. Most of them are the same figure. But now this one has changed drastically, and it was changed because of a long, complicated story. But it's not, this is no bear, and you've never seen a bear with a tail like that in the first place. And in the ancient planispheres, there was never anything that even resembled a bear. In the ancient planispheres, it was a sheepfold. And you know what a sheepfold is? That's where the sheep are protected at night before, so that it only has one entrance, and the wolves can't get to the sheep, or the lions, or the tigers, or whatever.
Bears, oh my.
Huh?
Lions, tigers, bears, oh my. I'm sorry. It's terrible. I would just check it.
It's very dorky.
I know.
Before I was so rudely interrupted, the real perversion is that the polar star is in the bear's tail. You see it in the middle where it says the polar star?
Is it the one that looks like a cat?
Yeah, it looks like a cat, I guess, but it's really a bear.
Okay.
That's what Ursa means. It's Greek, Latin for bear.
Okay.
And you'll see the second star from the end of the tail is called the pole star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, everything in the heavens revolves around that star. When we look at our heavens, everything in the universe revolves around that pole star. Every visible star, every visible constellation revolves around the pole star. You understand that? And you find the pole star. It's easy to find because Well, that's another story. I don't want to go there. Now, Ursa Major is another bear. And we're going to just make one reference to that. But the brightest star in Ursa Major... In Hebrew, it's the word Dovah. In Arabic, it's Dubah. And it's the same in Chaldean. In Hebrew, Dovah, D-O-H-V-E-H, means sheepfold. But it also means rest and security. In Arabic, it means the herd of animals or the herd of sheep. But in Chaldean, because it's a place of many sheep, in Chaldean, it's the word for wealth. But let's look.
We're looking at in Ursa Major stars.
Just for the one star, that dope. Do you see the star called D-O-H-V-E-H? The brightest star in Ursa Major.
No,
see one
sorry.
D-U-B-H-E.
There's one D-U-B-H-E.
Well, they just left the H off.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now let's. This idea. Let's go to Deuteronomy 33.
Deuteronomy 33.
Every one of the 12, Deuteronomy 33, is Moses blesses the tribes. And every one of the tribes, and we'll go through this towards the end when we've just about finished, will show that every one of the tribes had one of one of the 12 signs of the zodiac was assigned to every tribe. And they held it. It was not. I thought it was just a carving on their staff, but it was also a banner. They weren't allowed only in times of real apostasy did they ever have any kind of figures on it. They just had the Hebrew letters for the sign of the animal or the sign. So, yes, so they had the Hebrew word for Virgo, the Hebrew word for all these different, the 12 signs were on the staff. And Judah was Leo, and the Lion of Judah, etc. So we're going to read just one verse, in verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron, in verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. The word strength there is this Hebrew word, dovah, D-O-H-V-E. It means this, it means rest and security. Now, and again, forgive me for not going, if we start going through these 12 signs of which 12 tribes had the sign, we're never going to get finished, so we'll do that later. I just wanted you to see that sign for what that word means. Now, it has seven principal stars, and these seven stars in the symbol, it has a total of 24 stars, but the seven brightest ones are what make up what look like the Dipper. Now, these seven stars are called the septentrions, and it means the seven that turn. Now, I believe that this is what is referred to in Revelation of the seven churches, and I'll go to that in a little bit, but because it says there are seven stars, and these stars represent the seven churches. So that would be appropriate because of it's the sheepfold, it's the place of the church. And so you gotta get this picture in your mind. You gotta look, if you look up in the heavens and you see the pole star, And yet, everything and every star in the universe, every star that you can see, every constellation, every planet, is revolving around that pole star. Now, this is huge. Again, these seven are, mean the seven that turn. Okay? Now, let's just look. The Arabs call this pole star Al-Rukaba. The Greeks call it Cynosure. Anybody know what the word Cynosure means? It's an English word now. Cynosure. It means the center of attraction, the focus of all eyes. If we were at a rock concert and whoever the rock star was, then he would be the cynosure. If we were in the Himalayas, then Mount Everest would be the cynosure, et cetera, et cetera. If we were in northern Arizona, the Grand Canyon would be the cynosure.
How do you spell it?
It's
S-I-N.
No.
What?
C-I-N.
C-Y-N.
Oh, well, then.
O-S-U-R-E.
Say it again?
I'm thinking of sinecure. That's okay. That's a different word, nevertheless.
Spell it out, C-Y-N.
What? C-Y-N, O-S-U-R-E.
Yeah.
Means the center of attraction. The focus of all eyes. There's an interesting phenomenon. You remember we've talked about how what?
VIP, ace, big cheese, big deal, big gun, big name, big shot, big
celebrity.
Weight, celebrity, famous person, figure, heavyweight, one shot, immortal, superstar, the big cheese, worthy.
Don't do that anymore.
Well, with the thesaurus, obviously.
No, don't do that anymore.
Okay.
I hate those little machines. Including yours. It's not... Anyway. Now we're going to... Now I'm going to get a lecture. Watch, I'm about to get a lecture. Nick.
You know,
he's winding up.
The early disciples were commended that searched out things to make sure they were true.
They searched the scripture. No, that's, if you want to quote, if you want to quote something, quote it correctly.
I was trying to do a layup for Nick.
Well, you want to quote it correctly.
I know they search the scriptures.
No. The men of Berea were commended because they searched the scriptures to see whether these things be true. This isn't the same as looking up Cynosure.
Berea.
The iPads are not the same.
I'll quote one, the spirit of truth will give you remembrance of everything I have said.
Well, that's which version of the Bible is you read that on? It's not the King James.
But John 14:15.
Yeah, but it's not King James.
Go ahead.
No, because you're going to now waste our time looking it up.
Well, I'm listening.
All right. Remember we've talked about... The length of a universal day is how many years?
About 25,000.
The universe's day. The universe's day. It's about 25,000 years, right? And that's the time it takes for all of the... Well, it's the time... The North Star isn't really the only one that's up there. Because of the wobble of the Earth, the star becomes... It goes in a circle. And so the North Star is the North Star now and has been for the last couple of thousand years. But about 6 to 8, 10,000 years ago, The North Star was Dracos. What's it called?
Draconis.
Draconis.
It's close to it.
It was Dracos Draconis. Now, that meant that. Do you understand the meaning of a gate? A gate is an entrance to something, or the where in certain types of the language, it's meant where the focus is on. Thousands of years ago, the focus wasn't on the Cynosure, on the North Star. The focus was on Alpha Draconis. Now that meant that he was the dragon was the keeper of the gate. You understand that? Now let's go. I want to show you something. Let's go to Genesis 22. You see what that means? The North Star is not the North Star. The North Star is the North Star for like 2,000 to 3,000 years. Then another star becomes it, and another star becomes it, and another in the circle.
If you had a top, and you threw a top on the table, the top would be spinning. And if you look, if somebody's sitting on the top of the top looked up at the ceiling, they'd pick a spot on the ceiling and say, that's the North Star.
If the top had a light on it,
yeah,
then you would see a circle.
Yeah, but it would wobble. And so it would eventually be another spot on the ceiling. And that's the reason. And there's nothing about the North Star that makes it sit there. It's just that would be, that's where the
Except
Earth's wobbling
it's
right now.
It's the scripture.
Yeah, well, okay.
Genesis 22. In verse 15. Everybody there? Even with the little machines?
I was there first, Toby.
Huh? Oh, isn't he special?
I was there first.
He's taking over for the Pope.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now, what thing? He was about to sacrifice Isaac, which was the perfect type of Christ. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So now, the cynosure, the true cynosure, has possessed the universal gate of the enemy that previously was possessed by Draco, or Alpha Draconius. You see how big a deal this is? Okay? Now, let's look at some other stars. Can you find Koch, K-O-C-H-A-B? You can't find him in these little maps. You gotta trust. Well, I can't anyway. You find? Well, they're not even looking.
Kochba.
Anyway, just Kochba means awaiting the coming.
Which constellation is it in?
This is one we're studying.
Oh, it's in. Okay, I was looking at Ursa Major.
Ursa Minor.
Because you were in there. You were at W earlier, or whatever. Okay, got it.
Okay. Kochba. It means awaiting the coming. Another star is Al-Farkadain. Al-Farkadain. And it means the redeemed assembly. And then Al-Gedi, A-L-G-E-D-I, means the chosen of the flock. And Al-Qaid the assembled, and arctos, A-R-C-T-O-S, means the stronghold of the saved. Now this is where we get the word Arctic and Antarctic. It's from the star that's in this constellation of Arctos. Why Arctic? It's any way you spell Arctic. It should be A-R-T-I-C. But because of the star's name, it's Arctic. It's Arctic and Antarctic. Arctic is the north. Antarctic are the opposite of Arctic. It is the south pole in the, of the region. You understand? Now, let's go to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardi, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now the seven stars, because of their importance in ancient astronomy and astrology, I believe those are the seven stars he's seeing. And he's seeing that Christ is the head of the sheepfold. Amen. Now the tail, what we see is the
you
tail.
Believe, when you say the stars, do you believe that's the seven in Ursa Minor?
Ursa Minor.
Ursa Minor, okay.
That the one that's revolving around the pole.
Okay. Right.
Now that's just me. I'm just saying that's what I believe. But there's no way you can prove it. Now, there are 24 stars in that constellation. Let's go to Revelation 4. If the symbolism is true, then if that pole star represents the cynature, the Christ, in which all eyes, everything is related to him and of him and by him and for him. And this seven are the seven turning around that pole star. And I believe those are the seven angels, or the seven. The angel doesn't mean like an angel that flies. It means that all an angel is. For this meeting, I'm the angel. Do you understand what that means? It doesn't mean that it's here. All right. Well, now let's see what else we can see. After this, I looked, Now this again, this happened 2,000 years ago. And after this I looked, and behold, a door, chapter 4, verse 1. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which are must be hereafter. Now, the Spirit of God and Christ himself and these angels, they only did one thing with John, and they said, come see. Come see. Come see. And the only place that you could come and see was outside of time. You understand that? Because the book of Revelation, it isn't the book of Revelations. It's the one book of revelation of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation sits over all of time. It's always true. It's always happening. Because eternity, that's where we're sitting, is not long, long. Eternity doesn't mean, this is such stupid language. In English, eternity means a long, long time. In Hebrew, it means no time at all. And then you cannot understand the Bible, and you will never understand the book of Revelation, unless you understand that it's written from the standpoint of no time at all. Amen? All right, so listen. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. And he that, now I believe what Paul saw, I mean what John saw, is he took him by the head of the hair and showed him eternity. And looked back down and said, come see. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne, on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast like unto a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, it's the same beast that we saw in Revelation.
And
in Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Yeah.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Anyway, we could go on and finish it, but there's one set of thought that says these 24 stars that are in this sign represent the 24 elders of the house of Israel. Now, the 24 elders represented, have any of you ever heard of these various denominations that say there's only 144,000
yes.
saved?
Yeah.
Well, that's just crazy. That number came from the 140, that's the number of priests there were in the temple in Jerusalem at the time of Christ, 144,000 priests. Now,
were they equally divided, 12 tribes, 12,000?
No, because at the time of Christ, there was only two tribes left.
Yeah, the others had been scattered into...
Well, they'd been divorced by God.
Yeah.
And at the cross, the last two were divorced by God, and so is the human race. Now, each one of those... there were 24 courses of the priesthood. That meant... It was a course of priesthood that were each of these different duties. I'll wait.
I owe you a plea.
Anybody want to just jabber jibber while we're waiting for Nick?
I jabber a little bit.
Okay.
When you were talking about the star, you were in Deuteronomy 31. I don't understand what that has to do with that.
Because the meaning of that, the meaning of the name of the star was, where are we?
Deuteronomy 33:25.
The name of that star in Hebrew is Doveh. And that meaning of that Doveh means, in your Bible, it's translated, in Deuteronomy 33:25, it's translated strength. But it's the same word for the name of that star, which better translation is rest and security. I was just showing you that that star, I mean, the name of that star is used in the Hebrew Bible, where the name of the star here means rest and security. It's used in the Hebrew Bible, the name strength, but it also could easily mean rest and security. That's our real strength.
So is that what, two shall be of iron and brass?
No, that's just the word strength. You see the word strength? I didn't study the part about iron and brass.
Oh, okay.
I'm only talking about that word strength.
Oh, okay.
Got it?
I got it.
Where were we before?
I'm sorry.
Every 44 number of priests at the time.
Oh, yeah. There were 24 courses of the priesthood. That's a leader of each of the 24 courses is the 24 elders. Now, some of the courses of the priesthood did such things as pick the worms out of the wood that was used on the altar, because there couldn't be any worms in the wood that was used on the altar. Other courses of the priesthood did the cleansing with the ashes of the red heifer. Other courses of the priesthood, they did all kinds of stuff. The high priest, but some of the priests were stupid, but their priesthood was by family. They had to be of the tribe of Levi in order to be a priest, including the high priest. And the Levites taught the priests, because the Levites, that was their life. They'd been there the whole time. The priests had to retire. They couldn't start their priesthood until they were 30, and they retired at 50. So anyway, we can see other places where it says each of the 24 priests, they fell down as dead, and each of the four beasts fell down as dead. Now the four beasts, you remember the eagle is rise up with blah blah. I mean, every one of those is an aspect of Christ, but the four beasts represent, in terms of time, the four cardinal points of the compass. So when the four beasts fell down, and the leaders of the 24 courses of the priesthood fell down, that means it's over. It's done. Because they could never do that without it being done. Everything being done. Do you understand? That's the symbolism that we've lost in our language. All right. So, where are we?
Revelation 4:2.
Well, no, we just finished Revelation 4. The idea was that the 24 courses of the priesthood is what I want to talk about.
Oh.
All right. So this then is the lesser sheepfold. Doesn't mean it's any less important. It just means lesser in size. Now, what is the lesser sheepfold? We saw when we were in Pisces, we saw the two fish. And another thing, we saw the two, I forgot the other thing. We just saw two other things. Where was it?
Two other things.
Well, anyway, it was mainly the fish. Who's in the sheepfold?
sheep.
You're talking the church, right?
Well, who else? Let's go to Hebrews 11. I haven't heard. I'm there.
I want to be humble.
What?
Be humble.
You didn't succeed.
Do you see? You can't see it because it's written in it. It's kind of ink that kind of gets pretty invisible. One of his tattoos on this one, it says, "Look at me, I'm humble."
That's the one in neon. Flashing neon.
It's a contradiction in terms.
Well, if I were a real humble man, I'd be a hypocrite. I'll leave that there.
I think you ought to flush it, not just leave it out for everybody to smell it.
That's really good.
What?
Oxymoron without the oxy.
All right, Hebrews 11, before I was so rudely interrupted by myself. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And it goes on and on, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And you read about all the heroes of the faith, right? Sawed in half, lived in caves, the world was not worthy. Let's start in verse 10. This is true of all these guys. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, that they embraced them, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a better country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so throughout all of history, those that saw him from afar off are part of the sheepfold. The lesser sheepfold, what it's called here. The greater sheepfold is those after Christ. But in effect, all these saw Christ. That's where they saw. It says of Abraham, Jesus said of Abraham that he saw my day and was glad. So Abraham saw Jesus, saw his day. How? Again, that's all that's ever been required, is you see him. So that's who the lesser sheepfold is. It's the people throughout history. And I believe it's to anyone that has come to the end of himself, wherever he is and whoever he is. Amen?
Holy, when in verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. She was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Judged in verse 11, meaning?
Considered.
She considered him, or?
But she really didn't. She laughed at him.
Right.
But God doesn't see that. He sees the faith. God, if God looked at Nick, he certainly, thank God, he wouldn't see all the bullshit that Nick does. He looks at Nick and sees Christ in him. He sees, and that's accounted as faith. I know for me, if God ever looked at me, I mean, I'm impossible. I'm worse than Nick. I didn't think that's possible.
I agree.
So judged, considered, seen. So
remember, there are two words for judge that we see. One is crino, and the other is catecrino. Remember what crino was? It means to take a stand. Judge not, lest you be judged. But it also means to consider. She considered him faithful. All right? Let's go to one more. Ephesians.
Ephesians
1. Well, I'm just going to read a little bit of it because it's good. Starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, everybody understand what holy means? Understand what holy is?
I'm thinking pure, without sin.
Holy is a very technical word. It means that you are contain what you're supposed to contain without anything else in it. And a salt shaker is holy if it has salt in it. You are holy as any saint if you have Christ in you. That's all holy means. Same way we get saint, holy, sanctified, or all that word, agios.
But salt and salt alone.
Right. There can't have any pepper in there.
None of that frou-frou salt.
Yeah, it can't be sea salt either. It has to be ordinary salt.
Heaven forbid you should get iodine in there.
Cross the line into bullshit.
All right.
It's just that far. Missed it by that much.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, the only one that's that is Jesus Christ. So, the mystery of God is that he alone is our life. He alone has kept the law. He alone is the perfection of his holiness. And wherever we see that. We see that the New Jerusalem came down. That's all our surrounding reality. We see that Jesus Christ is in us. He is our only life. And the more we are around each other, the more we exhort one another daily, the more sure we see that. Having predestinated us, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, the word adoption is interesting. It doesn't mean what Mr. Chisholm adopted three children from Russia, and he and his wife consider them their own, and they're lovely children. I met them. But that's not what adoption means in the Bible. The word adoption is huiothesios. It means placing of the fullness of the Son. The fullness of the Son has been placed in us. There's nothing we can learn about him. The only thing we can do is unlearn about us. don't deny Christ by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. Amen? You were created in the image and likeness of God. It doesn't mean you look like God. It means the word image is selem. It means it says selem is a glove and a hand. A glove was created to contain a hand. If it contained a foot, it would be unholy. We were made in the image of God. We were created to contain him. But the fall happened, so our mind became the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, after the fall. We've been children of the evil one ever since. Amen?
Amen.
But then it says, and likeness. We are made in the image we're created, but then by his grace, we are in his likeness because we contain him. All right, back to Ephesians. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You can't underestimate what that says. He hath made us accepted. Now, you got to hear this. If he has made you accepted, and you still consider something wrong with you, then you're either a friggin' idiot, or you're putting yourself above God. You understand that? He hath made us accepted, not because of who we are or what we do, but because of who we contain. Every place our foot touches is holy because he is in us. He alone makes it holy. There's no such thing as a holy building or a holy
land.
All right. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, all that prudence means doesn't mean what we think prudence means. It just means understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen? I mean, it's all done, and that's what the stars say. It's saying, amen. That's enough for tonight. We'll stay the big major versus the greater.
You did a good job tonight, Ole. You didn't cough up a storm.
What?
I said you didn't cough up a storm.
Is that anything like coughing?
You made listening to you at certain times very arduous.
See, anybody can believe without the slam.
For what it's worth, I'm very interested in the fact that ancient religions saw everything the same, you know, the same symbology.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Alpha Draconis' name is Stuban. It's the Arabic word that means snake.
No.
I just thought that was pretty cool. I mean, because now you got the Greek and the Arabic are using very similar words. So I just thought that was cool. Sorry.
So is Jacob. The word Jacob means snake. Hmm.
Jacob must be a Norwegian name.